the doctor on Triple J.
Triple J with the doctor. And now it is time to talk to the main guy, the only guy left, the lead guy of the Smashing Pumpkins.
The world is a vampire. Sent to drain.
Billy Corgan, how are you going?
I'm good.
Oh, that's great. It's very nice to talk to you. You are a gentleman who, I guess, contributed greatly in a way to the annoying of my parents with my guitar in the 90s. Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins. How are you going, sir?
I'm actually watching American football. It's just the debuts. Tonight's the first game. I know it's not rugby, but we like it over here.
That's good. That's very good. Well, of course, you mentioned rugby, an Australian sport, because you were coming back to Australia, which is very exciting. It was announced just yesterday, pretty much.
And last second, too, really, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're going to be here in October. There's probably a lot to organize.
Yeah, but, you know, in my new rock and roll world, it all makes sense. You know, we can pretty much go anywhere anytime we want because we're not on a label anymore. So we just pick up and go wherever we want to go.
Isn't it a beautiful world?
Love it. I'm a happy guy.
And this is it. And Tear Garden by Kaleidoscope. You're releasing it pretty much as you write it, song by song, online as for free as well. But is there a certain pressure to, because every single tune that you're putting out there is up for release, you know, in like specifically and individually.
Yeah.
And for review.
Yeah, actually, I really like the pressure. You know, when I was putting out records in the 90s, and, you know, the thing was, could you get a song on MTV? You know, that was a pretty huge pressure when you look at the bands that were successful at the time. Nirvana, Kurt was writing amazing songs. You know, Pearl Jam was big. Alice in Chains was big. So there's a lot of competition, and, you know, the stakes were high. Now that's all kind of gone. I like creating my own pressure. And, you know, the crazy thing about the world we live in now, I mean, you put that song out, and within an hour, you know, everybody's on Twitter, everybody's on Facebook, and, you know, they're saying, I like it, I don't like it, oh, it's great, no, it sucks. You know, you get that immediate feedback, which is great. That's what rock and roll is supposed to be about. You're supposed to provoke that kind of visceral reaction. And when you come up with a good one, like Freak, you know, out of the box, everybody, it was like, you know, 95% positive. You know, everyone just loved the song right away.
Isn't it?
And nobody was scratching their head going, oh, what's he on about this time, you know? Yeah. So that's a good feeling when you get it right occasionally, you know?
And isn't it weird, like, you write the song yourself, you record it, you know, with the Smashing Pumpkins in your house. You know, it's such a personal and individual and sort of secluded thing. And then, you know, as you said, in an hour, everyone in the world heard it.
Yeah, and not only that, telling you, well, you know, what's wrong with it.
it's as exciting, because with the build-up of an album comes the excitement. So now, you know, every song is seeing the light of day individually. Is there as much excitement for each individual song?
Yes, and I'll say this. I think we're... music in general is going into a much more exciting place. I think music's going to a place where it's going to be much more brilliant, exciting, and diverse, and more responsive to what fans are interested in. But the first thing is the business has to get out of the way, and they're still kind of trying to hold on to the old business. And quite frankly, you know, generation after generation of kids now is saying that they're really not that interested.
Mm-hmm. And it's weird, isn't it? Because the reaction, instead of listening to the kids, and this sounds like a bit of a, you know, David versus Goliath.
No, they keep trying to tell the kids that they're wrong.
Yeah, and here, no, we have a 360 deal now. No, this is the way the music business has to go. We're going to get money from T-shirts as well. And it's just, it's a very strange situation. Yeah. I'm talking to Billy.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to throw to a song, but I want you to finish your point.
Oh, no. I was going to say, here's a good way to send this to a song. I mean, how do you take a business that completely rips off and exploits artists and make it worse? And they figured out how to do that with the 360 deal.
There it is. Beautifully put.
Now let's throw to a song.
Let's go to the song which has nothing to do with the 360 deal, but it does bring this conversation full circle. Here is Freak, as recently released, one of the most recent tracks released online for free by the Smashing Pumpkins. Billy Corgan is on the line on Triple J. And on Triple J, that is Freak, part of the very ambitious and long-running project Tear Garden by Kaleidoscope by the Smashing Pumpkins. That is something about the Smashing Pumpkins, and I have Billy Corgan on the line. The guitar tones have always been so instantly recognizable and massive.
I have to give all credit to my to my rock and roll hero, Tony Iommi of Black Sabbath. He's always been my inspiration with that. And I was lucky enough to work with Tony on his solo album. And I still remain friends with Tony. He's just always been an inspiration to me on the guitar.
Tony Iommi, or the dude that pretty much invented the heavy metal guitar riff, is your inspiration. And then you have in turn inspired so many people, you know, sort of filtering that inspiration through.
It's really weird when you get like a 12-year-old, 15-year-old kid coming up going, oh, I'm just learning guitar and I learned how to play, you know, Cherub Rock. And you're like, wow, this is so crazy, you know. It's a really great feeling.
Yeah, in the 90s, me and my mate Dave used to play. We somehow got away playing Cherub Rock in religion class at school because we went to a Catholic school.
Whoa.
I know. The lyrics, it was kind of...
You're going to hell, my friend.
I played Drown from the single soundtrack, that 90s movie Singles, in my Year 11 music assessment. I even had like
We're actually playing both those songs live, so...
You're playing, you know, all of these new songs, and as you said, the old songs, with a new perspective. I saw on YouTube, you Disarm is now a karaoke number.
Yes, very good. I like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, the way I've always played the song live is just to play it on acoustic guitar, you know, with a little bit of band accompaniment, but it never really captures the full drama of the song.
With the strings and everything, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously I can't have 30 people out there every night, so I thought, well, let's just try it, you know. And we had an instrumental mix from back in the day, and I asked the band, I said, what do you think? They were like, do it. So I was like, okay, let's try it. It's hard to explain, you know. It just kind of worked.
Have you done Smashing Pumpkins karaoke in karaoke bars?
You know, actually, I did once. I have a lot of friends from so many tours of Japan. So one time I was there on tour, and I was flipping through this massive book, and I saw that they had my song Zero. And it was in the period where the Smashing Pumpkins were broke up. So without telling them, I punched in the number, and I got up on stage, and I performed my song Zero full volume, you know, like full rock voice, everything. And they looked completely horrified. They didn't think it was funny. They actually
really
thought it was kind of sacrilegious.
But that could have been the moment that, you know, you thought, I think I'm going to get this band back together.
You know how in karaoke they kind of use, like, synthesizers? So it was like, me, 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 me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Me, 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 me. It was, like, really a bad version, too.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's when you knew you had to get the band back together just to give it.
I thought someday I'll be on stage doing Disarm karaoke.
I'm talking to Billy Corgan on Triple J from the karaoke band Smashing Pumpkins. No, they
absolutely
are absolutely a live band. Let's have a listen to some tunes, and then we'll come back and talk more about what to expect when you get to Australia next month on Triple J. And on Triple J, Billy Corgan is on the phone. The Smashing Pumpkins are coming to Australia next month. It's just been announced. You were here a few years ago doing some solo stuff, and a mate of mine went and said that you, at the end of the gig, you just sit on the front of the stage and just chat to people for hours.
Probably more like 10 minutes, but yeah. Because when I was on my solo tour, I wouldn't play any Smashing Pumpkins songs, you know. But it had been announced that the Smashing Pumpkins were going to reform.
Yeah.
So maybe because people were feeling sentimental, there was a lot of pressure for me to do Smashing Pumpkins songs, which I wouldn't do. So I thought at the end, I'll just talk to everybody and say, look, you know, next time I see you, I will be a Smashing Pumpkin again, and I look forward to coming back to play a nice loud guitar and everything. And it was interesting because sometimes people would yell and scream and say, why won't you play a Smashing Pumpkin song now? I had to very nicely explain to them that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, unless you went to a karaoke bar after the show.
Actually, that would have been the perfect time to break into Zero karaoke.
I'm talking to Billy Corgan, and can I thank you so much? Towards the end of the 90s, and Vuforia came out, the video, no DVDs back then, the video of Smashing Pumpkins on tour. And you get to the middle of it, and then you get introduced to one of my favorite bands of all time, The Frogs.
Oh, very good. One of the great sort of unique bands ever. Not PC, as they say. they would tackle all sorts of challenging subjects, so it's not for the faint of heart, but a really fresh take on rock and roll, and they're really like that. I mean, that's really how they are. I mean, they live like that. They sort of think like that.
That's great.
Brilliant, brilliant guys.
Well, I'm going to put on right now, I'm sad because my goat just died today. I've actually got a zombie goat tattooed on my right arm. So we will play it right now on Triple J with the Doctor. I'm talking to Billy Corgan.
I'm sad because my goat just died today. I'm sad. My goat just fell in the hay. We're all sad. The goat just died today. Oh, 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 oh. We're sad enough to cry. Hi, hi, hi. sad, the goat just died tonight. We're sad, his funeral though will be out of sight. We're so sad, but in a way we're happy he didn't suffer too much. He only got the cramps once. Sad, rolled a piece of poop, wouldn't come out of his belly. Sad, we had to call Doc Nelly. We're sad.
And there it is, the beautiful strains of I'm Sad, My Goat Just Died Today by the Frogs, as introduced to me by the Smashing Pumpkins on their Euphoria video. Billy Corgan is on the phone and you are coming back to Australia. You announced it on Twitter and people are wondering, how the hell did you get the Twitter name Billy, just Billy?
No, that's an interesting story. I'm not very technologically adept like most teenagers are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very behind the times. So everyone's like, you got to get on Twitter. Okay, so somebody goes to sign me up or whatever, because I can't even do it myself. And they come back and they say, somebody already has Billy Corgan. And I say, well, too bad. I'm Billy Corgan. So we have somebody from my management contact Twitter and say, can you get rid of that Billy Corgan and give the real Billy Corgan Billy Corgan? And they say, no, we can't do that. They said, we're going to give the guy who's Billy Corgan, we're going to change him to not Billy Corgan. this is serious.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to give you Billy. And then my manager writes, I think it's a really big honor to get a one-name Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. So I'm just at Billy, right? I can't tell you how many people are like, how did you get the one name? I didn't know I was getting the greatest thing ever.
You were getting the cream of the crop. And for someone you say not very technologically adept, you're quite prolific on it. Like, I guess it goes into your instant communication with the people that want to know about you and stuff.
Well, the beautiful thing is somebody set it up so I can just do it from my phone. So the good news is I can do it from my phone, and the bad news is I can do it from my phone because if I think it off the top of my head, you know, oftentimes it just goes right into the little phone and out to the world.
Is this why your private life makes it into, you know, especially Australian newspapers and stuff via your Twitter posts?
Very good. Well, you know, at some point we decided that, you know, we just have a bit of fun with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's all, you know, listen, being in a relationship with somebody who's in the public eye, you know, there's that sort of thing where we have to laugh sometimes because something she does or something I does sort of turns into a story, you know, whether we want it to or not. So it's a unique thing to be in a relationship that way.
Yeah, it must be strange. It's like the most pointless things, and then you can just find them by Google newsing yourself.
Yeah, well, actually, all the articles that came out that were saying, oh, it's confirmed, Billy and Jess are in a relationship, it was because I was giving her shit for not buying me presents when she was off on a holiday. And so I was being sarcastic and tweeting, Jess is the best present giver ever. I can't believe, oh, if the world only knew how generous Jess is, you know? And so that got picked up like by Perez Hilton and became me making fun of her became confirmation of a relationship. That's the world we live in.
It is, and isn't it amazing, you know, in the 90s and before then, when you're starting a band, thinking, I reckon in about 22 years' time, I'll probably be Twittering about my relationships on the internet.
Yeah, who knew, you know? put it this way, it's a different world.
It is indeed. It is indeed. But it is a world in which Smashing Pumpkins are coming back to Australia next month, and you've got a new Smashing Pumpkins song coming out in a week or so.
Yes, it's a very pretty kind of mellow one. So you won't be hearing that big guitar sound this time.
Okay. I've got on the phone Billy Corgan, or as you know him on Twitter, just Billy. And there's been a couple of questions on my Twitter, actually, wondering what's going to be happening. You were saying that the next EP was going to be recorded in October. Is that changing now that you're coming to Australia?
No, actually, we're gonna go in and start recording what will be EP 3 songs in October, literally right after the Aussie and hopefully New Zealand end of the tour.
Okay, and you know, have you written those songs yet?
Oh yeah, there's songs coming out my ears. The problem is we just don't have any time to record them. We're so busy. You know, when I announced that you know, I was going to continue and stuff. You know, there was a lot of skepticism, and we found that some people weren't really sure whether they wanted to have us. As soon as we played our first show at the Viper Room and people saw, especially in L.A. because of the business, a lot of business people there, when they saw, like, what the band was about, it was like the phone started ringing off the hook the next day.
Great.
And so it's been nonstop, like, come here, go there, we want you here, like, from, yeah. So that was the end of the speculation right there.
Mm-hmm. And do you care that maybe that the newer songs haven't propelled you to the same, you know, stratospheric heights as the 90s brought you?
Well, I think there's a couple things there. One is it's a different world. I mean, you don't have the same level of opportunity. You know, you don't have an MTV driving you up. You know, the Smashing Pumpkins have been around a while. People make assumptions about the Smashing Pumpkins without actually being backed up by fact. I live in the modern world, and I believe that our music is still very important for a variety of reasons, not just to sell records. You know, always been influential. I certainly have an ability to kind of help change things around me. I think the way I'm releasing music is important for kids, especially to see that they don't have to be part of the major label system if they don't want to be. And I fully believe that, you know, there will come another day where Smashing Pumpkins will rule the earth.
that is correct.
In a different way, and maybe the way it was always meant to be, a kind of a healthier, happier way. You know, the original band was a great band, but we grew up in a very dark time, you know. There were a lot of drugs around, there was a lot of crazy stuff going on, and we were exploited, you know. We were taken advantage of by a lot of people. You know, we were just kids. I mean, you know, it's easy sometimes to look back and say, oh, you know, you should have done this, you should have done that. We were kids. We were from the suburbs, you know. A lot of people can relate. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. So, you know, I don't think Kurt Cobain, a lot of us knew what we were going to be getting into. I mean, I've sort of ended up in the right place. I'm in a happy relationship. I'm in a happy band. I really love what I'm doing. And
you got to be on The Simpsons.
If I'm successful from a happy place, that's awesome. And if I'm not successful, well, then I'm still happy. My whole life doesn't go up and down in rock and roll anymore. And I think that's actually better, honestly.
That is a beautiful, beautiful sentiment to end our chat with Billy Corgan, who is going to be in Australia with the Smashing Pumpkins next month. The dates are as follows. The 12th of October at Riverside in Perth. 13th at the AEC Theatre in Adelaide, Festival Hall, Melbourne, Big Top in Sydney on the 16th, that was the 15th at Festival Hall, and the Tivoli in Brisbane on the 17th of October. And you just may have a chance to meet Chris Lilley from We Can Be Heroes and Summer Heights High when you're here.
Oh my God, I am such a fan. I've turned the whole band on to the genius of Chris Lilley, and I must admit to you, and I did tell Jess this, I had a Chris Lilley dream.
Was it a sexy
dream? I had a dream that I was walking through a park and I saw these people on a trolley, and I looked at the trolley and it said Mr. G's trolley. And I looked on the trolley and there were people singing, and Mr. G was on the trolley, but he was wearing a wig and he had a mustache and he looked at me. This is a real dream. I'm not making this up. And when I woke up, I said to Jess, oh my God, I just dreamed of Mr. G. What is wrong with me?
We need to make that happen. We need to get Chris Lilley.
If you
can
put me together with Chris Lilley, I would be in heaven. I think he's so brilliant. I can't say enough about how brilliant he is.
He's a shy gentleman, but we'll see what we can do. Billy Corgan, thank you very much for talking to Triple J. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next month.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.